Welcome to My Retirement is Successful Because. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters, and I am pleased to let you know about a one-year intergenerational innovative technology-based project that our registered charity is producing. My Retirement is Successful Because is a project that is inspired and led by seniors, which showcases and celebrates older adults mentoring others about their expertise, best practices, experience about successful retirements. Successful retirements are no accident. They require planning, adapting to change, and being open to new opportunities and ideas. Successful retirements are important because they support lifelong well-being and the continued inclusion and engagement in society. As part of this project, we are producing a series of podcasts with people who are volunteering to share their stories about their retirements.
Our guest today is Catherine. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us as part of our project. I do have a series of questions for you, so let's get started. Could you tell us about your retirement?
Yes, I retired just over 2 years ago from my position as a professor at Carleton University, where I had taught for nearly 22 years. I was able to ease into the retirement because the university had a plan that let us get two-thirds of our pay for half-time work, and you could do that for up to 3 years. So that's how I started my retirement, was by easing into it. Since then, I've taken up a number of new things, including playing the ukulele and visiting hospices, because I'm a hospice volunteer, so I've visited other hospices. I've done some traveling, twice to Virginia and four times to Provincetown, where I go each year to write. I've written and published a new book on caring for our parents and ourselves, and I've given about a dozen talks on the book and on caregiving to community groups and to hospices. And, of course, I have a lot of time to play with my grandchildren and to pursue my work as a life coach.
Your life sounds very full, and you took up a new musical instrument. What did that do for you?
I had played the guitar long, long ago, before children, and I really enjoyed it, but I had given it, more or less, it had gathered dust after the kids were born. They only wanted me to play Row, Row, Row Your Boat over and over again. So when I retired, I thought, I want to get back into music because it brings me such joy, and I love to sing. So I picked up the ukulele because there's a place nearby that teaches various instruments, and the ukulele is relatively easy to learn. And it gives me the chance to sing on a regular basis, which I love, and to have fun with music. And, of course, it's learning a new skill, and everything that is written about neuroscience says that it's great to learn new skills to keep our minds active and engaged.
Do you combine your joy of singing with your ukulele?
I sing at hospice to individual patients, but I haven't actually brought the ukulele in, but I may. I saw the family of a patient once bring in a ukulele, and she was clearly a newish player as I was, and I thought, yeah, maybe that would be a good thing to do. So I may bring it in, think of some appropriate music.
What does volunteering do for you?
Oh, it does so much for me. I've been volunteering now in a residential hospice for 14 years. So while I was still working, I took that up, and it became, you know, a very regular thing in my life and continues to be. Because of the nature of the work, being with dying people and their families, I get to see life pared down to its essentials, and it reminds me that I can have that kind of a life as well, that there are certain things that are important and the rest of it is noise. And especially now that I'm retired, I can very easily say no to the noise, whether that means meetings or hassles between workmates or colleagues, any of that stuff, I don't have to pay attention to now. I come in and I do my volunteering. I know that what I do matters to people, and it helps me feel that I matter.
Tell me about your book.
Yes, well, I had been writing sort of memoir for quite a long time while I was caring for my sister when she was dying and then for my parents. But I never really had the blocks of time I needed to pull it together in some way. And once I retired, I had much more time. I didn't have to keep it to holidays and in the summer. I could establish a regular writing practice, and so that's what I did. And the writing went pretty quickly. I focused it on caring for our parents and ourselves in the midst of it, but I also talked about caring for anyone you love, whether it's a sibling or a friend or even a child, and the kinds of ways to be present with that caregiving and to slow down and also to take care of yourself. So the book was published in April of this year, and I've been giving talks and going around doing book readings, and I'm really enjoying that. It's stretching me as well because I'm an introvert, and so being in those settings with people I don't know and in different places all the time is a little bit of a challenge, but again, I think a challenge is a good thing, and it gets me, you know, basically out of the house. It gets me to do these things and to meet new people. And again, like with the hospice work, I know that my book and my talks make a difference to people because they tell me that it does and they feel supported by me in their own caregiving. And so that feels really good.
We all need to feel valued. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. For most of us, our work is, in many respects, our identity. And I had a job, a career that was pretty high status in terms of the value that people put on it. If you tell someone you're a professor, it seems impressive. You know, I have a PhD and I'm a professor. And you know, when you go out, when you talk to people, when I would walk on the campus, I had an identity as a professor. And as soon as I fully retired, I didn't really have that identity anymore. I mean, I'm a retired professor, and I suppose that has some status, but not the same as when I was walking into a lecture hall or a classroom or a meeting as a professor. And so having the other things that are some of them continuing identities, but also things that are really about me and who I am, and my identity as who I am, a caring person and a compassionate person, those things become even more important.
It's kind of fun to reinvent ourselves.
I think it is fun. Sometimes it can be scary. I think because it's, as the phrase goes, it's outside of our comfort zone. But I think the secret of living a long and meaningful life really is to not give in to that fear, but to say, okay, that's a bit scary. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go, but let's give it a try. And as you say, have some fun with it. Because we get to be silly. We get to make mistakes. We get to explore. Those are all the things we're allowed to do. And no one can fire us. No, that's something that's gone now. We don't have to worry about performance evaluations and whatever else might have gone into our job. We're out there really taking some risks with our lives, and I think we should be proud of ourselves for doing that. I know I remind myself of that on a pretty regular basis, and do a kind of good for you. That was hard, and good for you.
Did you plan for your retirement?
Yes. I think one of the things that I did was to take up things or maybe retake up things that I'd done when I was younger and introduce them back into my life. Creative writing was certainly one of those, because in the years when I was raising my kids and teaching at the university, I had actually no time for creative writing. I had time for academic writing, but none for creative writing. So once my girls were more or less grown up, I started taking creative writing courses and workshops and starting to recommit to my writing, which gives me enormous pleasure. So I was already doing that pretty consistently, not daily or anything, but I had kind of broken through on that. And the hospice volunteering I was already doing. And a few other things that I had been starting to introduce into my life. You know, I sometimes say I retired because I didn't have time for work anymore. And in a lot of ways, that's what it was. My writing and my volunteering, and I started visiting other hospices. Those were taking up a lot of time, and I loved them. I loved and I loved doing them. And it was almost like, oh, how am I going to fit work in here? And so it was much less of a shock for me when I retired. I know some people don't have that option, or they think they don't have it, but you can take up a few things in the evenings or on the weekend before you retire. So you're not having to go cold turkey from work into, you know, something that feels more like an abyss than an opening in your life.
It must have been great to explore your love for creative writing.
It was. It definitely was. And the same thing when I also took life coach training in that period when I was working half-time. And that was a real challenge. A lot of new learning, and we had exams, and I had supervisions of my coaching calls with my clients. And that was really challenging. And some of it I thought, ooh, I don't really like this, but it helped me to remember with my students that it's not easy. It's not easy being evaluated. And again, it really helped to stretch me. And so I'm doing life coaching now, and have been doing it for a few years. Not full-time by any means, but I have, you know, somewhere around 5 or 6 clients at any one time. And that too is a real opening and a learning experience, which I started before I had retired.
Tell me a bit more about life coaching.
I guess for me, I wanted to help people, or I wanted to work with people who were at some kind of transition point in their lives. And I had worked with a life coach who helped me to come to the place where I was ready to go on that half-time regime leading into retirement. After 3 years, and with him, I worked a lot on that whole question of identity that I talked about, and I did it through exercises and through imagining my future, through dealing with the kind of critical voice in my head that was keeping me from making changes and telling me I wasn't going to succeed. So I worked with him for a couple of years, and it was really, really life-changing work. It really was. And as I was nearing the end of working with him, I knew I wanted to continue to make a bit of money after I retired. And I talked to him about taking the training, and he thought it would be fabulous. And so I did. I signed up for the training. And so I work mostly with people at some kind of a major transition point, sometimes divorce, sometimes retirement, and lately with people who have aging parents who are dealing with the caregiving role or with a death in their lives or an imminent death in their lives. And, it's as individual as the people that I'm working with in some ways, but I help people to see what their values are and to recognize what really brings them to life and what excites them. And for people who are retiring or planning on retiring, it can be very helpful because people have trouble imagining something that's different from the life that they're living now. And I help them as well to realize that you have power and you have control and you have choice in your life. You might think you don't have any choices, but you always do. And so I work with them to help them see that they have more choices.
Not all things in our retirement take a lot of money. It's all about living within our means. Do you agree?
Yes, that's a really good point, Mary. And I am a regular user of my local library. It's only a few blocks from my house, and I'm up there frequently. In fact, I'm going to do a reading up there in early December, which will feel wonderful because it's my place. There are free concerts during the day. I love classical music, and I've found free concerts that I can go to. And again, I try to walk to those things because that gets me out and gets me some exercise. But if you look for it, I mean, senior centers, there are lots of them, and they have free or very inexpensive classes. I take a yoga class now during the day, and I love to be able to do those things during the day.
So my next question for you is retirement what you expected it to be?
It's better, I'd say. It's definitely fuller than I could have imagined. It's more fun. And I think I didn't realize how much the schedule and the demands of work, and particularly the meetings, of which there were many, how much they were dragging me down, and the kind of negative talk that people often engaged in. I knew I was not liking it so much, but I didn't realize that it was actually dragging me down. So I don't have those things dragging me down now, and I just feel lighter. I feel better. And so... yes, I think it's, you know, I knew, I'll have more time to do this, but I didn't predict that I would have a book out that soon. And so that's just amazing. And then how much I would learn from having the book and talking to people and learning how to market, which I'd never had to do that before, promote myself. I'd never had to do that. So, again, stretching myself and learning new things. And, of course, having time with the grandchildren, because everyone tells you it's the best thing in the world, but you can't really believe how great it is until you have them. And my grandchildren live in town, so I get to see them frequently, at least once a week.
Well, that's wonderful. And what's the best and the worst parts, do you think, about being retired?
Okay, well, you know, best, no meetings, having free time during the day, being able to sleep in if I need it, you know, almost never having to get up at 6 in the morning and get going as I did when I was raising my kids and running a university department. I think the worst parts... it has to do with that identity. And even though I felt ready to give up the identity as professor, still, it is sometimes hard. You know, in September, for example, when everybody's getting ready to go back to school, whatever grade it is, you know, my life was so structured by the school year, both my children's lives and then because I taught my life. And, you know, you get ready, you go to Staples, you get your stuff, you know, all of that. And then, you know, I would meet my new classes. So that was a little strange. And I've had to work at finding opportunities to mentor young people because that's what I love about teaching. And so finding places, that was difficult where because I wasn't, I love being with students. So finding the ways to be in settings where young people are, and I'm still working on that, finding ways to do that.
And my final question for you is, what advice can you share with our audience?
Okay, I would say don't wait to start living your life until you've retired. I think it's really important to start taking up things that interest you. Even while you're still working, there are lots of evening classes that you can go to at night or things that are on the weekend. Explore. Just take a class and see if you like it or try something that you used to do or start volunteering maybe one evening a week or whenever you can fit it in, especially things that involve sort of frontline contact with people, I think, is really helpful at giving you perspective on your own life. So start doing those things, you know, not just the year before even, but quite a bit before. Just add a little something of that. You know, we say planning, but I don't think that means plotting it out. You know, Monday I'll do this and Wednesday I'll do that, because we can't really envision it, not fully. But to be thinking about, oh, I love to do this. I don't like that and I don't want any more of that. So if I'm looking for a volunteer activity, I might not want to be on a board of directors, because that's been what I've been doing in my life, sort of, you know. So making those decisions and maybe talking to a coach or a therapist or a counselor or maybe a group of friends, talk about what you're thinking about as you look ahead. And I think to the degree that you can let go of worry, really try to let go of it. I think as long as we have our health, and even as our health is a bit diminished, there's still lots of wonderful things in our lives. So that would be my advice. And keep active. Whatever active means in your life, keep active and don't get isolated.
Well, thank you for that. And to wrap up, I would like to thank the New Horizons program for helping to fund this project.
Visit www.caregivingmatters.ca to hear other great podcasts from the My Retirement is Successful Because series. And thank you for listening.